Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, boys. It's Dr. Venkman. It's time for another episode of the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. I am your host and the commissioner of the Mad Dog Dynasty League, Rick Goreski. It's been too long, guys. Things have been crazy busy at home and at work, and just haven't been able to get any shows going on. I finally just said today, I'm doing it. I'm winging it. I don't have a script. I don't have anything written out. I just have a ton of action to talk about. So it is 2016. We are rocking and rolling with our new league year. The website is up and running. I want to say it's been at least a week that the new league year has been underway, and all kinds of really interesting moves are already occurring. I'm already hearing a lot of trade talk. Excuse me. Before we get too far into 2016, let's go ahead and put a bow on 2015 by congratulating Tim Savore, Lost in the Sauce, beating Bill Novak downhill from here, 186 to 172 in the Dog Bowl, the big title game. Downhill, the first team ever to make it to three championship games. Unfortunately, he loses this one, unfortunately for Bill. Fortunate for Tim, because Tim wins two in a row. This was a series of firsts. First owner to get three title games, to make it to three title games, and the first owner ever to go back-to-back. So, just great effort by both owners, and what can you do but just take your hat off and just tip your hat to these guys. Great showing in 2015. I do feel the need to point something out to everybody in the league that maybe they don't know this, and maybe Tom doesn't even know this, but you know what, I tell you, I got to preface this. None of this, what I'm about to say, is meant to take anything away from Bill's accomplishment or Tim's accomplishment, because you can't. I mean, Bill has been hands down. You talk about who won the draft, who won the auction. Everybody sits around and shoots the BS on draft day and on auction day and who did good. And it's like baseball, spring training, hope springs eternal. Everybody feels like their team is good. Hands down, without a doubt, Bill won the auction. Back in 2011, when we put the league together, Bill clearly came out as the leader by a mile. I mean, he's got two titles under his belt and went to a third championship game. Second, I believe, in the league in wins and winning percentage. So can't argue with that. Tim, I mean, he had to his own admission, had a rough start. But, gee gads, talk about turning it around. I think 3 years ago he had the first pick in the draft, and he's turned everything around, and next thing you know, the guy is back-to-back champion. So nothing I'm going to say takes away from these guys. It's just when something like what I'm about to share happens, it blows your mind. I mean, it's huge news as far as our league. So here we are. The 2015 playoffs take place. Round one of the playoffs saw Lost in the Sauce facing my team, Crazy 7. Lost blew me out of the water. Lost scored, I believe, the most points in their franchise history, 274 points to my 213 points. Lost clearly moves on. In the other frame, Malicious Minds, who had won the blue division, Malicious Minds takes on Downhill from here. And what people don't know is that the Malicious Minds lost 245 to 235. And truth be told, in that game, in that Week 16 game between those two teams, Tom's team, the Malicious Minds, had a DNP on defense. They actually had, trying to grab the name of the player, they had, any second here, What do I feel like? Oh, because I clicked on the wrong week. Tom's team played one short. They played without Paul Warlow, linebacker from Atlanta, did not play. Tom lost the game by 10 points. Tom did not put any backups up. He did not list any backups. Had he listed a backup, he would have won this game. And I'll tell you right now that it's not as if, well, if you would have picked this backup or he would have picked this backup. He had Mikal Kendricks on the bench with 20 points, Denzel Perriman on the bench with 12 points. He had David Emerson from Oakland on the bench with 24, Adam Jones with 11. He had multiple players on the defensive side of the ball on his bench. If he'd have put any of those guys in, and frankly they were the logical players for him to put in, he would have won that game. And then the heartbreaker for Tom is that if he puts his backup in, lists a backup, he goes to the title game, and in the title game, Tom would have outscored either opponent, lost or downhill. Tom scored 196 points in a losing effort, for that matter, in the third place game. 196 points would have been good to beat lost or downhill. So you literally have an owner in our league who, because he didn't set his backups, cost himself a title. He goes from first place to fourth place, $300 down to 50. Man, you know, what can you say? Most people didn't know that. I thought it was just huge news to share that. And I can't wait to get a chance to talk to Tom about that, to see if he knew about that, to see what his thoughts were. I've always said that the DNPs, the ability to use the backup list, is one of the most underused tools in our league. And here's, you know, it's not just preaching. It's here's an example of a title. A title is something really special, and that title's gone. You can't get that back. So anyway, that's 2015. Congratulations, Tim. Congratulations, Bill. Let's move over to 2016 because it's a new league year. Time to wipe that, you know, bad taste out of your mouth, Tom, and to just wipe your shoes at the door. Start out fresh, all of us. For 2016, the salary cap has been raised for all teams, 3%. That means this year's cap number is $116. I'm fascinated by the fact that there already are two teams that are over the cap. Now, of course, I got to preface that by saying there's a lot of signings that, you know, everybody's team right now contains all players that were on IR, have been dumped back on their rosters, and people haven't, you know, there are cuts that are there to be made. Lots of contracts have lapsed. But just if you took the rosters as they are today, the Marauding Minotaurs, they have 43 players under contract, and they currently have a total team salary of $116.39. So, of course, once they cut three players, they will be at the cap or under, but they also have multiple contracts that are up that they've got to make signing decisions. So Marauding Minotaurs are right at the cap, and then you've got, I believe you're in trouble, and it is you're in trouble. They have 42 players on their roster. They are already at a salary of $116.78. So, yes, cutting a couple players will get him under the cap, but even once he goes under the cap, he's got, you know, I don't know, 10 or so players or more to sign, and he's going to be right back over the cap. So he's going to have to make some decisions, maybe not re-sign some guys to make room for his team, maybe some trades, things like that. But salary cap is at $116. We've already seen some incredibly big moves. Gar's team, Klingons around Uranus. Fascinating that Gar's, right now, Gar only has, I think it's 9. I'm counting right now. 8. He's got 8 players under contract right now. And all of those 8 players are on 1-year deals. So Gar has to find 32 players to fill out his team. He's got 22 players that he has the right now to sign. They're under his. They ended the year on his roster. 22 players are sitting there, and Gar can make decisions on that. So it's not as if he's completely, you know, powerless in filling those spots. But fascinating enough, Gar already released 13 players. He cut quarterback Matt Hasselbeck, Peyton Manning, Matt Schwab. He cut Alfred Morris, who had a high contract. It would have cost $10.34 a year to re-sign Alfred Morris. Spencer Ware, Chris Thompson from Washington. Andre Johnson was a cut. Eddie Royal, Gilmore, the tight end from Baltimore, was cut. Corey, I always call it legit. I'm not sure if that's the proper pronunciation, but defensive lineman from San Diego. Linebacker Hitchens from Dallas. Hill, the defensive back from Baltimore. And Quinn, defensive back Detroit, formerly of Houston. All those guys were cut by Gar. Heath Miller, retiring, also hits Gar because Gar had him and Michael Floyd, actually, on his team. Two guys retired. So that's 15 players from last year that were on Gar's roster at the end of the year that are completely gone. And I think it's fascinating as an owner to look and see that the position, Gar's got $45.17 in cap space right now, and he's got 22 players that he could walk away from. And, I mean, the actual salary for the players that he has under contract, I can, while we're talking, I can quick add that up. But it's, can you imagine having to bid against this guy? He's got all the money. He's got all the money in the world right now to do anything he wants to do. And you talk about being at a crossroads with your franchise and being able to take that franchise in any direction. And that's exactly where Gar's at right now. The total dollar amount committed to 2016 for Klingons around Uranus is $37.36. So Gar's got, you know, $37.36 out of $116. So I'll actually tell you that's $78.64. He's got over $78 in cap room to fill out 32 spots. So he can, I don't want to bid against Gar this year is, I guess, one of the things I'm saying, but you might find that that actually is the case for several owners. Yeah, maybe more impressive is the fact that the Malicious Minds currently have 43 players on their roster, and they have $55.88 in cap room. I mean, wow. Tom did a lot of overhauling, traded a lot of big names last year, and I think it was actually the end of the year before, continued trading last year. But Tom, whereas you're in trouble, is right up against the cap. Tom's got all the cap money in the world to deal with. Right now, with 42 players on his roster, Andy Wellman's Ipswich United has $30.18. Interesting fact about Andy's team is that he does have Drew Brees, and Drew Brees, I think we can all say, is getting towards the end of the road for him. I'm not sure how many years he has left, but when Drew Brees retires, or when Andy retires him from his team, there's $13.31 that's going to go right back into Andy's available cap room. $30.18, if you add on that 13, you're up over $43. He's right up there with the other teams that have a lot of money. Another team with just flush with funds, Transpat Sixer, has currently 41 players on their roster, $54.77 in cap room. That's incredible. Tron, Tim, and Zach have been building this franchise, focusing on youth, being smart about the contracts they got into. It'll be interesting to see if at some point they take some of that youth, the guys like Sammy Watkins that are coming around and starting to perform, and if they kind of like an arm wrestling match, just kick it in and start to use some of that money to buy a handful of players that can help fill out their starting lineup. downhill from here with Bill Novak. Interesting thing with Bill is that a lot of the initial players that he built his dynasty, and I'll call it that, with guys like Thomas Davis, guys like Derek Johnson, Laurinaitis, Timmons, Tulloch, a lot of these guys that he, some of these guys he actually picked up in the starting auction. And now their contracts are up, and he's going to be facing decisions. I believe he's got the most tag decisions to make. Arian Foster's another one. Golden Tate, he's got 8 different players whose contracts are up. Bill has to make a decision on whether or not to tag them or cut them, meaning of those 8 players, he's already used his free signing. So the only way he can keep an Arian Foster, or the only way that Bill can keep Thomas Davis, is going to be to slap a tag on them. And you only get 2 franchise tags a year, 2 transition tags a year, 3 right of first refusal tags. I mean, do the math. If he used every single one of those tags, he's still going to have to cut one of those players. So very interesting situation for Bill this year. Very big, big offseason as far as decisions. Moving back over to the league rosters, Stone Farm Pallies with Steve Wellman, he's already put out a note. Number 1 is on the line. He's got it up for trade. The top overall pick in the league, the rookie draft, is out there. Several big decisions for Steve this year. DeMarco Murray, $9.48 a year. That contract is up. Does he let that go? Does he throw a right of first refusal on that? I know he floated him around in trades last year. And, of course, Murray didn't do so well, but there's a new sheriff in town in Philly. So, Doug Peterson, does that change? You know, what do you do if you're in Steve's shoes? It's going to be a great thing to think about, and something I'll ask owners as we get guests onto the show as time goes by. Speaking of time going by, I'm going to see how long I've been yakking here. Oh, pretty good on time right now. Interesting decisions again for Stone Form. Do they rebuild? Do they've had some bad breaks over the past years? They still have Aaron Rodgers and several other really good pieces. Interesting to see what direction Steve takes this year. He has $31.93 in cap room sitting there, so he's not helpless. That's with 41 players on his team. He's got as much money as anybody else to try to dip into free agency. And going up to Lost in the Sauce, the league champion has $26 in cap room right now, $26.01, and he's got 43 players on his roster. This is the year that, is it Beckham, I believe, is up? Yeah, Beckham's contract is up this year, and he does have Ben Roethlisberger's contract is up. Interesting for Tim, $13.75 a year for Phil Rivers. That's going to be an interesting decision. Does he cut ties with Rivers and move in a different direction? Does he hold on to Rivers for another year? What's his name? The former coach of Tennessee came back to San Diego as the offensive coordinator. And his name just eludes me at this moment, but San Diego offensive coordinator coming back home, maybe that'll help Phil Rivers' numbers. Pardon me. Man, I told you work's been killing me. I've been dying to do a show. I've got so much I want to talk about, and I just said, that's it. We're throwing one up here, guys. So can't wait to have you guys on the show, have you be guests, and have you talk about the different teams in the league and just talk about what you might do. Going back to the rosters, Klingons are on your name, as we already talked about, $45 in cap room. He can go anywhere he wants to go. His options are wide open. Scott Phillips, show me your TDs, has $14.33. He's got 44 players under contract. Decisions that need to be made this year for Allen Robinson is one. That's a big name. Got to make a decision on that. Brock Osweiler. Scott did not trade Brock Osweiler. He is out of options. He has to either put a franchise or transition tag or a right of first refusal tag on him, or he's got to just let him go. So, of course, a young player like that, you wouldn't want to put the dollar amount for a transition or franchise tag on a player like that is just kind of going to be something you can't really work with in our league. So I would actually anticipate Scott would just let Brock Osweiler go. He's got Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson, so no need to put that kind of money into the quarterback spot. A team that has, I mentioned before, is kind of at the cap right now with 43 players under contract. Brian Koch's Marauding Minotaurs has some real good decisions to make. He's already made one by doing an early signing on Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck now under contract at $7.59 a year for the next 3 years. It's a steal. It's a great contract. Shrewd move by Brian, taking Luck's injury-shortened season and making the best out of it. You know, he did lose Luck for the year, but, again, if he's going to lose him, at least he got something out of the deal. He got him locked up at a good price for 3 years. On the flip side of that, though, Blake Bortles had a fantastic year for the Minotaurs, and that's going to translate into needing to pay him $12.74 to re-sign Blake Bortles. That's a lot of money. That's Blake Bortles did really good, but that's almost $13 a year. A lot of money to dedicate to the quarterback position. Other decisions for Marauding Minotaurs, Ryan Matthews sitting there from Philadelphia. Brian's got him at a contract of $9.90 for one more year. So does that last? You know, will he cut ties with Ryan Matthews? Will he hold on to him? One more year left with Dez Bryant. I think that Brian is out of options, then he has to tag him if he wants to keep him. So that's another player to keep an eye on. But last couple teams to mention, Dream Team, Matt Blankenberg's team. Matt has $30, seemingly always has money, by the way. Matt seemingly, I don't know how he does it, he's got a really good team, and he seemingly always has like $30 in his pocket to spend. But $30.36, 41 players under contract. Shrewd moves last year, picking up Cam Newton and Julio Jones. Both paid off big time. He's going to have to pay both of those guys next year unless he chooses to do some kind of early signing. But the big one for Matt's team is LeSean McCoy, the, I believe, still highest paid player in the league at $20.35. LeSean McCoy's contract is up, and Dream Team is going to have to put a tag on McCoy if he wants to keep him because he already used his free signing. Looking over at Dream Team's, the rest of the players on his team, I'm trying to find Navarro Bowman. He's still got one year left on Navarro Bowman. Dream Team has been shopping Navarro Bowman to anybody that is interested. I believe he put a post out on the message board. But Dream's got some decisions to make, and specifically some players that he needs to make some tag or cut decisions on. Speaking of tag or cut, we'll cover these. I'll talk about these more in detail. But Sean Van Hemmert, owner of Enders, Geesh, who Scott took over the franchise from, the franchise that is now Show Me Your TVs, interesting to say that Sean Lee was Sean's player from the initial startup draft, I believe, startup auction. And I remember Sean put him out there on a right of first refusal tag in our first, I guess it would be our second year doing the league. And he kind of got bit on that because it would have been cheaper if he had just signed him straight out instead of trying to put him out there. He thought he was going to get him back cheaper, and he didn't. But he did win him back, and he was able to re-sign him, and then I believe Scott re-signed him. He's now out of options with him. He's going to have to tag him or cut him. So just kind of a little throwback story to Sean that I seen Sean Lee made me think about. Looking at our time here, plenty of time to keep it going, guys. So my team, Crazy Seven, $32.35. 38 players on the roster right now. Still a handful of decisions to make, but the Crazy Seven franchise is right there with everybody else as far as, 30-ish dollars to play with. So this this is a year where, oddly enough, a lot of teams have, most teams even, have, you know, $30-ish dollars or more to play with. So really interesting, being that last year was the year, if I'm not mistaken, where a lot of the startup guys had come up, their contracts came up, and decisions had to be made. But let's talk about some off-season moves thus far. We have had some signings already in the new year. And starting off with Brian Koch, the Marauding Minotaurs did the early signing with Andrew Luck. Ended up giving him a 10% increase. That came to $7.59 for the year. Marauding Minotaurs also signed T.Y. Hilton to a 3-year contract, $4.96 a year. Both of these deals, by the way, in 2019, they're going to have to make a decision on both Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton as to either put a franchise or transition tag or a right of first refusal tag on them, or they'll have to let them go. Jace Amaro, tight end from the Jets, the Minotaurs also signed Jace Amaro. 50 cents was the contract amount, 3-year deal on that for the Jets. And two more players, two more signings. Tuitt, the defensive lineman from Pittsburgh, that was a signing, a 3-year deal at $2.62 a year. And last but not least, linebacker K.J. Wright from Seattle. The Minotaurs lock him up at $4.43 a year for 3 years, all 3-year deals. So that's Luck, Hilton, Amaro, Tuitt, and K.J. Wright were the signings by the Marauding Minotaurs. Crazy Seven actually jumped in and did a signing. That's my team. Tight end Julius Thomas of Jacksonville. Crazy Seven had one. Julius Thomas had an auction, so they had the they had never used a re-signing on Julius Thomas. Crazy locks up Julius Thomas 3 years at a rate of $1.59 a year. You know, it's my guy, so what am I going to say? I think that's a pretty good deal for having a player of Julius Thomas's capabilities, his talents, for $1.59 a year. So that's a no-brainer. That's one of those ones that you just look at your list of guys and you're like, well, I'd be stupid if I didn't sign him, regardless if I trade him or not. That's a really good deal. So I'm trying to see if anybody else made any signing decisions. I don't think so. I think those are the only signings as of right now. There have been several cuts that have taken place in the league. to recap the cuts, Crazy Seven, that's my team, cut ties with Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel, as if things needed to get any worse for Johnny Manziel, then, on top of everything, he gets the note that Crazy Seven has released him. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was that weekend that his life, I feel bad, you know, his life fell apart. He found out that I dropped him in the Dynasty League, and apparently that pushed him over the edge. So I apologize, Johnny Manziel. I didn't mean to ruin your life, buddy. Brandon Bolden, he took it a lot better, running back from New England Patriots. All these guys, their contracts were up. There was no cap hit on these. I just decided to let go and chose not to re-sign them is a better way of saying it. Hightower, running back from New Orleans. Thompson, running back from Denver, Juwan Thompson. And Danny Amendola, he was just an insurance policy for the playoffs. The big crazy move, though, was dropping Marshawn Lynch. Lynch retired, of course, so no cap hit for Crazy Seven. I can tell you that I was planning on cutting Lynch as part of my transition cut window, but I didn't have to because he retired. You know, why take a cap hit if I didn't have to? Lynch retires, the team acknowledges it, so it's official, and Crazy opens up $14 worth of cap room. The Stoneform Pallies, they made several cuts. They drop, I believe it's Orleans Darkawa is the running back from the Giants. Chris Givens, a wide receiver from Baltimore. Justin Hunter, wide receiver Tennessee. Rishard Matthews, wide receiver Miami. Jared Crick, a defensive lineman from Houston, and a defensive lineman from Baltimore. Lawrence Guy. All those were cuts by Stoneform Pallies. Moving over to Gar's team, Klingons Around Your Anus. Gar dropping Matt Hasselbeck, Peyton Manning, Matt Schwab. These are all more deals. Again, these are all situations, for the most part, where the owner chose not to re-sign as much as it is a cut. But it is a release. Matt Schwab out the door. Alfred Morris, Chris Thompson, Spencer Ware, I think I mentioned some of these previously, Malcolm Floyd retired, Andre Johnson gone, he should retire, Eddie Royal, Crockett Gilmore, that was interesting for me to see that he didn't keep Crockett Gilmore, Nick Folk, Corey Legit, Hitchens, Will Hill, and Quinn Glover, and then Tron jumped in and made some cuts. Some of these guys he would have had to tag to keep, but Tron drops Leonard Hankerson, wide receiver Buffalo, Percy Harvin, wide receiver Buffalo, Vincent Jackson, Tampa Bay, Terrence Williams, wide receiver from Dallas, and Jabal Sheard, defensive lineman from New England. So those are the cuts that have taken place thus far. For the teams that are out there, I think I'd like to mention the tag or cut players. None for crazy. Dream Team has LeSean McCoy, I mentioned. Rolando McClain, he would have to tag him or cut him. Barry Church is a tag or cut player for Dream Team. Rotting Minotaurs have a tag or cut on Blair Walsh, the kicker. Scott Phillips, show me your TDs, has a tag or cut decision on the following players: Brock Osweiler, Jonathan Stewart, Steve Smith, Delanie Walker. That one's going to hurt because Delanie Walker, you can't let that guy go. But now he's going to have to pay him either $6.22 a year, that's the transition tag, that's the franchise tag for tight ends, or $4.59 a year, which is the transition tag for a tight end. And then once you pay that player, that sucks up one of your tags for the life of your franchise. So transition tags and franchise tags are for the life of your franchise. You don't get new ones every year, whereas the right of first refusal, you get three every year. TDs also has to make a decision on Mike Nugent, place kicker from Cincinnati, Zach Brown, linebacker Tennessee, Sean Lee, I mentioned before, very interested to see what he does with Sean Lee, Derek Morgan from Tennessee, that is another tag or cut player for show me your TDs. Lost in the sauce, fascinating, they have Antonio Brown as a tag or cut player. Antonio Brown would cost $10.82 a year to sign, but Beckham, as I mentioned, his contract's up. Lost did not use the free signing yet for Beckham, so he can sign him, but he's going to cost him $10.82 a year as well. So you're talking about $22 on those two players, pretty much. Moving over to Kling. Kling had to make a decision on Peyton Manning, and he obviously cut him. I will say that Peyton Manning trade worked great for Gar, didn't it? If you think back in hindsight, Gar made the move to pick Peyton Manning up. Nobody really knew what Peyton Manning was going to be like coming off the injury. I think it worked out like gold for him. I mean, he got a kind of a season for the ages out of him, so hard to argue with that. But moving over to Stone Form Pallies, Stone has, one more back to Klingons. Jordy Nelson is a tag or cut player, but it would cost, I think, $7.52 if Gar were to tag him and keep him. So I think we can assume we're going to see Jordy Nelson back on the Klings team. Tag or cut for the Stone Form Pallies is one of his favorite all-time players. One of his favorite moves, I should say, was picking up Freeman from Indianapolis, the linebacker. Freeman is a tag or cut player this year. Bill, downhill from here, Arian Foster, tag or cut. Golden Tate, tag or cut. Hayward from Pittsburgh, defensive lineman, tag or cut. Barwin from Philadelphia, Davis the linebacker, Carolina. He's got Johnson from Kansas City, and then he's got Misi from Miami and McCourty from New England, the defensive back McCourty. All those are tag or cut players for downhill. Are we watching that dynasty start to move? You know, you can't keep the players forever. It'll be really interesting to see what decisions Bill makes. Moving over to Ipswich. Ipswich United has to make a decision on Joik Bell. He would have to pay Joik Bell $12.53 a year if he put the transition tag on him, $16.30 if he put the franchise on him. I think we're going to see Joik Bell in the unemployment line. That's my prediction. Tron has to make a decision on Jackson, the DeQuell Jackson, the linebacker from Indianapolis. I tend to think he'll keep him. It would only cost $5.90 on the transition tag or $7.46 if he decided to strategically franchise him. Malicious Minds has three tag decisions, Mason Crosby, Sheldon Richardson, defensive lineman, and DeAndre Levy. That's a tough one to DeAndre Levy because he's been injured and Malicious hasn't really gotten a lot out of him. Can you really afford to pay that guy $5.90 on the transition tag for a linebacker or $7.46 on the franchise tag? I don't know. A lot of money for a player that you're not sure you're going to get anything out of. And then we end with You're in Trouble. You're in Trouble, who's in cap trouble, has Dennis Pitta. Not sure if that guy's ever going to play again, so that doesn't hurt so bad. He could let that go or put a right of first refusal on him. Justin Tuck did retire, so he's losing a defensive lineman. He has Cassius Campbell. I think it's Cassius Campbell. Cassius Clay. But anyway, Cassius Campbell from Arizona is a tag or cut player. And he would have to pay him $5.16 a year on the transition tag for a defensive lineman, or he would have to pay him $6.17 a year as the franchise tag. So interesting to see what he does with that. More interesting to see what he does with Eric Weddle. Eric Weddle, defensive back, he would have to pay him $3.96 on the transition tag or $4.46 on the franchise tag for defensive backs. So that's kind of the rundown of where we're at with the signings for Mad Dog. I do want to say that specifically for financial tiers this year, the franchise tag for quarterback, $13.60 a year, transition tag, $9.07, running back, $16.30 a year, $12.53 on the transition tag, wide receivers, franchise tag, $10.47, transition tag is $8.68. For tight ends, the franchise fee is $6.22. Franchise tag, that is. The transition tag, $4.49 a year. Place kickers, $1.89 for the franchise tag. Not that much less on the transition, $1.65 for the transition tag. Defensive linemen, $6.17 a year on the franchise tag, $5.16 a year for transition. For linebackers, $7.46 a year for franchise tag, $5.90 on the transition tag. And then finally, DBs, big value here for DBs, $4.46 a year on the franchise tag, $3.96 on the transition tag. So that's kind of the offseason moves in a nutshell right now. I'm almost at the clock, so the only thing I wanted to talk about is the upcoming rules meeting, Sunday, April 17th, 2016, at the Mad Dog Saloon. Be there. It's going to be at noon. Looking forward to seeing everybody and talking over different rules, different ideas. Please send in your agenda items if you have any. Right now we've got 9 things on the agenda. We want to talk about possibly lifting the cap on rookie contracts or at least raising it. Right now you can only have 10 penny contract, penny players. We want to talk about seeing should we raise that. Number 2, we want to talk about how should we tweak the taxi rules, if at all. Several ideas are out there. That's 2, I guess I can't count. A third item, do we want to add a special defensive tackle spot? Do we want to, you know, take one of our defensive end spots and make it a defensive tackle only? Or do we want to contemplate that? Somebody brought that up last year, and we should throw that on the agenda. Another point, moving the early signing deadline to August 1st. Last year, out of the 13 early signings that occurred, 11 were made the night of the deadline, and that's just too much. I mean, the deadline's rough enough with regular contracts. We don't need people with early signings adding to it. If a guy wants to sign a player early, they ought to know that way before the deadline. Another thing is to talk about whether we should move the overall signing and tag deadline to August 1st as well. Just too many people waiting to the last minute to sign their players, and it's becoming a problem. Last year, 20 deals signed on the day of the deadline. New executive committee reps are needed for 2016, so contemplate whether or not you might want to help run the league this year. Every year, the EC plays a big role, so I can't thank the guys that do it enough, and I hope you consider it. Another two items left, adjust the consecutive pass rule for auctions. Frankly, we say that if somebody – you're always allowed to pass, but at the end of the day, if you need players, if you need more than five players, you shouldn't be allowed to pass. You can pass once, but if you passed once and it comes back to you and you need six or more players, you need to throw a player out. We can't have people showing up at the chat auction needing 10 or more players. It just can't happen. It makes all this passing and waiting, it just makes the auctions take longer. So I think we can cut down on the amount of time we're spending on this if we just put in a rule like this, a little tweak that says, all right, we let you strategically pass once, but it gets to a point where if you need players, you need to throw players out and bid. And the last thing is to simply clarify something that's already a rule, but to clarify it in writing, which is to say that when you're factoring franchise and transition amounts, it's always the higher amount that you have to pay. You can't say, well, you know, the franchise amount is $10, but if I gave my guy a 10% raise, he would make $13.50. I'm going to take the franchise amount and only pay him $10. No, you always have to pay the dollar amount or 10%, whichever is greatest, and that also goes into play when you're dealing with a tier or a tag value. So that's it for now, guys. I'm going to check out of here before this thing ends. While I'm talking, I'm going to throw out a little TNA, old-fashioned WWF with Trish Stratus to leave you with. Take care. Thanks again for listening to the Mad Dog Dynasty League podcast. Whoa, that's super loud.